Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast, presented by Apidura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. I'm Jenny Tuff, and I'll be your host for the Transcontinental Race number 11. The first night on the race was pretty eventful for a lot of our riders. Some of the front of the pack put in huge rides, while others tested out their sleeping kit and found some unusual places to bivvy down. The decision to get some rest early on is an investment in your body. Getting burnt out by trying to ride through the night and the next day so early on in such a long ride can bite back when the Pyrenees show up. But for others, taking advantage of the energy of the start line and putting in a solid ride to establish some space ahead of the pack can give an early edge in the competition. When the sun rose on the first full day of the race, our team of reporters were out looking for coffees and cyclists to find out how their night went. First, Amy Longley Cook, Cap 38.
I slept outside by myself for the first time in my life, so I had about 2 hours sleep. It was good.
Where was that?
It was a bus stop.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere. It just looked... They started looking more and more comfy as they went on, so yeah.
What do you have? What kind of sleeping system do you have?
So I have got a bivy bag and a silk liner and a mat, but actually I just put my down jacket on and slept on... It was like a stone bench and it was perfect. So there we go.
It's funny how a stone bench can become like a perfect bed.
Yeah, exactly. It was the perfect size for me. Yeah, it was wonderful.
And my personal pick for my favourite unofficial competition, the weirdest or perhaps wrongest place to sleep, goes to Ragna, Cap 331.
And how's your evening been? How's your night been?
My night was pretty nice. I found like an old toilet on a graveyard where I managed to sleep.
That sounds spooky.
No, it was okay. There was no poop left, there were no ghosts. So I think I managed to have like 1.5 hours of sleep. And then I found breakfast. And so far, so good.
Also catching rest last night, Dirk, Cap 223.
How was your night?
It was quite good. I slept 3 hours just after the first parcours. It was a good sleep. Now it's getting windy, wet. So we'll have to see what's happening.
And what was that feeling like being on that first parkour with so many riders, so many headlights?
It was quite tough. A lot of climbing, but okay, it's fun to have people around you. Now you're doing it all by yourself, so it's getting maybe a little tougher. We'll see.
Jake jogged alongside Amelia, Cap 359, and just an apologies for the little background noise from the road.
Amelia, how are you doing?
I'm good. Could do with fewer hills, but I think that's part of the fun.
Yeah. Allegedly.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. How was your night?
Yeah, it was pretty good. The parkour was amazing. I was surprised how much of it was lit. And then at the lighthouse, there were so many stars. It was beautiful. Really, really enjoyed it.
And how about riding with everyone so close out of the start and with night falling, all the lights on the start parkour of the other riders?
It was wild because I usually tour solo, so this is one of the first times I've actually ridden with that many people. It was kind of fun, like knowing there were other people out there as well. You know, a little bit less lonely.
Exactly. And have you spoken to your parents?
Only via message, but they don't speak Latin yet, so all good.
Good on them, and I hope that you're the same.
Yeah, all good so far.
Fantastic. Well, well done, Amelia. It's awesome work.
All right, I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
And now for Vera, Cap 234.
My night was great. I slept actually for 2 hours because if I don't, I would get tired today during the day and I wouldn't risk that. So yeah, now I'm fresh. I have rested a little bit and now I need to get some food actually because I ran out of food.
Sounds like you're riding a really sensible race though, you know, yeah, looking after your future self.
For many riders, the first night can also be a shock to the system. Lina, Cap 189.
Who does this? Seriously, who does this? I don't get it. How do you do it?
What happened? Since yesterday?
No, it's like the night and everything was good and everything was fine, but it's like crazy. I don't understand how you can go without sleep and just do it and keep on going in all the hills and stuff. It's crazy. It's mind-blowing to me. I don't know.
I'm having a life crisis now.
Yes, I'm literally having a life crisis. It's like I'm questioning all the choices also that are not part of TCR anymore. It's like all the life choices I've ever made. I don't know. It's fucking insane.
And for others, the first night is a party. Caps 381, pair Ben and Chris.
It's Chris's birthday today.
Oh, it's my birthday. Thanks very much. 34.
Oh, how are you going to celebrate it?
Probably try and ride 300 kilometres.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Yay! Can you go to say parabéns?
Oh, nice. She's also giving us cake from Galicia to try.
Our Rish supporter Sophie has carried her Brompton along in the crew car so she can interview the riders without holding them up. As an accomplished ultra cyclist herself, I'm sure she has no problem keeping up, and I applaud her commitment to our riders. Here she is with Ella, Cap 299.
Hello.
Hey.
Do you mind if I ride up with you a bit?
Yeah, sure.
How are you?
I'm good.
You look good. You look fresh.
Yeah, I'm feeling... Well, I'm tired. I'm definitely tired. I'm ready to stop for the night and have a sleep. But other than that, feeling okay, which is great.
Did you enjoy the race so far?
Really, really good. Well, not the rain. The rain at night, although at least it was warm.
Probably not the headwind.
Yeah, and the headwind as well. But actually, once it got to morning and the sun came out, it's been beautiful. It's been really lovely. Some really nice climbs and descents and, I mean, views, which is lovely.
Did you eat something delicious today?
Yeah, I had loads of chocolate yogurt. I wanted something really cold, but protein. So I just bought a 4-pack of chocolate yogurt mousse things. That was lovely. Yeah.
I'm going to leave you to eat because Matt, the photographer, wants to take a shot with you. Bye-bye.
Tia, Cap 335, has her morning nutrition routine absolutely nailed.
I'm sorry, we're coming in at just the right moment. What are you drinking right now?
I just opened a beer and trying to gather myself together. Just checked where my friend is. She's taking another route towards more the ocean. So I've been, just riding kind of alone today. I mean, I haven't seen many riders. I've been taking like little hidden routes, so it's been a nice adventure. Yeah, but I'm so tired, honestly.
I can imagine. So how was your night there?
Very rainy. But it was kind of okay, actually. Like, the start parkour took a toll on me, like huge toll. Then I had my half of pizza that I took from the pizzeria with me, so I was like celebrating.
How did you store the pizza?
Oh, it was just my bag, the saddle bag, yeah. But it was super nice because it actually gave me a lot of energy and kind of like I really restarted. So I had a nice, like riding wise, I had a very nice evening, like very nice night. But it was wet, yeah. So everything is wet now. So yeah, it's still weird.
Understandable. And so, what are your plans for today?
Oh, actually, I was not planning to have as many slow rolling hills as it's actually at the moment. So I'm very much behind of my plan. But I think I would like to push at least like 6-7 p.m. and then maybe find like a hotel or some bed to rest for a while, have a nice shower and maybe a good dinner, and then go to sleep and start your day tomorrow again.
That sounds fantastic. And will you be keeping going on the 0% beers throughout the race?
Yeah. It's good vitamin. And then I have Aquarius, which is also always the necessity in Spain.
Also on the 0% beers, Auri, Cap 212, came down with a cold right before the race, but is still riding strong and doing her best to stay healthy and moving.
Hi, Auri. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I have a bit of a cold, which is a bit annoying, but yeah. Otherwise, I'm fine.
I'm sorry to hear that. It seems like you've got the good solution, though, with the San Miguel 00.
Yeah. I try to do what I can.
I think that's a good plan. And how did you find the night?
How do I put that in words? I expected it to be drier, for sure.
Were you getting cold through the night?
No, it was fine.
Okay.
I got Tom's, how do you say that, vest.
Nice.
He decided at the hotel back in Santiago not to take it, so I could take it.
Some magic, some trail magic.
I'm sure he missed it in the night. But yeah, now I got it. So I was really happy about that.
That's good. And what's your plan for today?
I don't know yet. I think I'm gonna book something with a washing machine. Somewhere down at the beach.
Yeah, no,
at
the coast.
Coast, yeah, thanks. yeah, but so I think I'm gonna do like 200k.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Auri, and I hope you feel better soon.
I hope so too.
And as the day heads into evening, our reporter Sophie is still out on her Brompton. Here she is now with a short recap on her day of speaking to riders.
Hi, it's Sophie again, on my Brompton now, as I'm climbing up next to riders asking how their day went. Well, I think wind was part of the picture today. They complained a bit about the rain this morning, then the heat this afternoon, but they all were quite cheerful, so happy to be here. Yeah, they really enjoyed the route. They said the driver are really respectful. They felt really safe out there. So yeah, they just have one more night to go.
In under 24 hours of racing, the first riders got to control point one. Our reporter Jake was waiting for them to arrive.
The first control is, to put it mildly, sadistic. The brainchild of race director Andrew Phillips, it lies at the top of an incredibly sustained switchback road. It's a road to nowhere. It's an unnecessary out and back, but obviously for all the riders of the TCR, absolutely necessary. There are 20 switchbacks in total that leap from the valley floor with gradients at their apex of over 20%. In the words of Justinas, who reached the control late last night, who the fuck lives up here? All we can safely assume is that they're incredibly strong bike riders. To reach the base of the climb, riders descend down a larger road into what quickly becomes a steep-sided gorge. Sheets of rock fall away from precipitous ridgelines, and the views of some of the Picos's most famous peaks are unparalleled. The cloud suddenly peels back to reveal these faces of rock illuminated by the evening light. Riders who arrive in the light can consider themselves very lucky indeed. But of course, the parkour is not associated with the control. It's a floating parkour. Riders have a decision to make, whether to retrace their steps back up the road on a long tarmac diversion and then to ascend the parkour a 2 kilometer descent in order to descend it in the right direction. Alternatively, riders have the option to push on up another near vertical ascent, a pass whose tarmac abruptly ends to be replaced by gravel, a gravel descent, and then a section of double track. Riders opting for this more direct approach will have to face two of cycling's most feared G's, gradients and gravel. It remains to be seen what the split will be between riders taking the more direct gravel approach to the floating parkour or the long and winding tarmac workaround.
First rider to get the first stamp is Nicolas Chatelet, cap 46.
Nicolas, fantastic. First rider to the first control. How does it feel?
So hard. Ask him.
Do you have any words for Andrew, who was the instrument of chaos behind this last climb?
No sympathy. I hate you.
Fantastic. I'm sure he'll take that one to heart. So, talk me through the day so far, Nicolas.
Yeah, a very rapid day. The start is so fast, and after too tranquil.
Yeah,
too easy.
Yeah,
but I'm afraid by the gravel part with the fatigue.
Yes,
with the fatigue.
And you've taken some interesting routes, slightly different to some of the other riders. What's been inspiration behind your route choices?
Yeah, this night I have an error. It's too long than the other rider, but I think the road of this afternoon is a good idea. No wind, big climb, big long climb. I love that. Donc, good idea.
Fantastic. Great job, Nicolai. It's great to have you here. Well done.
And chasing him down, second to arrive, is Martin Moritz, cap 297.
Martin, fantastic work. How are you feeling after that final climb?
Awesome.
Yes.
I love it. Now I'm looking forward to the next one.
Fantastic. Any words for Andrew, who was the architect of that last stretch?
Rather not.
I love it. And any thoughts on which way you're going to go from here?
Gravel.
Gravel. Nice.
It's still dead ham, but it's beautiful around here. I'm really thankful that I can see it during daytime.
Fantastic. That sounds great.
Rounding out the top three arrivals for the first stamp is cap 146, Weibfiedler.
So, third rider to the first control. Did you expect to arrive here so quickly? Did you plan this?
No. No.
So you're moving quicker than expected.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. I just went through the night and then a friend texted me that I'm in first place, but yeah, it's too early in the race. So
yeah. And so almost 24 hours on, only 8 minutes of stoppage. What's your plan from here?
Oh, no plans.
Take it as it comes.
It's moving forward, yeah.
And do you know if you'll go gravel or tarmac from here?
Gravel.
Gravel. Yeah. Nice. This seems to be the popular choice.
Yeah, I'm sure it's quicker.
As the sun sets on day one, watching the dots is already my biggest compulsion. Every time I refresh the screen, they've all jumped and scattered even more over the map of northern Spain. But on a race this long, I've always believed that the first two or three days aren't very meaningful. There's so much ahead, and individual strategies for rest and pacing don't play out until a few days and nights have taken hold on fatigue levels. While the first bunch of riders to reach CP1 have already put in genuinely astonishing rides, flexing immense strength on the bike, we won't know for a while yet which of them are riding at a pace they can hold. The TCR is a long game, and consistency over many days is what tends to pay off. While the sharp hills to reach the first control point in parkours will have been a solid warm-up to the legs, the Pyrenees still loom ahead. Although I'm not trying to comment on the pointy end of the race until they're over that first big mountain range, I can't help but be drawn to the strength of the women's field, where at least five women are already showing their determination for an early lead. I expect that by the time this episode comes out, most of them will have their first stamps, but in which order they will see them, I'm not super sure. But the real gold for me in dot watching is zooming out the map and getting a sense of how many different adventures are being had. Since leaving the start parcours, riders chose so many individual routes to cross the land to get them to the control point. I know that each of them might feel like they're riding alone because it's unlikely already to see other riders around you, but when you see them dotted all over the map, I think it's one of the coolest things in ultrasport to see 400 individuals trying to find the fastest way across Europe. Here's more from Jake at the end of day one.
So the start of the first day has included some very expected moves and some great surprises. We've seen riders track a fairly consistent course across the Cantabrian coast of northern Spain towards Oviedo and eventually the Picos de Europa for CP1. We've seen their fastest riders push through the night and into their first day of riding with very little stoppage. From the control cars, we've often found people who chose to rest a couple of nights in ditches and under bus stops, recovering from that rest today by the sides of the roads, fueling up. Beer has been a very common source of energy for a lot of riders today. 0.0 Estrella Galicia is a particular favourite amongst riders for the high calorific intake and for the taste, I imagine, too, taking the edge off a long night. The weather has been unexpectedly mizzly, we'd call it in the UK. Misty, drizzly. Riders were very relieved this morning when about 11 a.m. the clouds began to break and the sun poked through and they were able to lay out some wet kit and get things drying, and it's been beautiful sunshine for the rest of the day for a lot of the field. We had our first scratch at around 10 a.m. this morning from Joe Bagel, cap number 45, who we met at a cafe along the way, and it was a teary goodbye, but it was a good decision from Joe, who has suffered a partially herniated disc and was feeling his back deteriorating. Not long after, while we were still at that cafe with Joe, we heard of another very unexpected scratch from Abdullah Zinab, who is cap number 4. Abdullah, obviously one of the favourites for this year's TCR, and it's really sad to see him go. Funnily enough, when we let Joe know about Abdullah's scratch, he was particularly concerned. He seemed almost more concerned for Abdullah's scratch than his own. He cited Abdullah as one of the inspirations for him getting into ultracycling, having tackled the Trans Am recently and then later the Transcontinental. So he was very sad to see him go. That's all for now, and we'll continue to give you some updates as they're happening from the road.
I'll be back tomorrow to let you know how things played out as the mid-pack starts to near the first control point. Thanks for listening to the Lost Dot podcast. Remember to stay up to date with the race on our blog and social channels, where our race photographers are sharing some stunning pictures of the control point that Jake described. Thanks to our race partners, Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Rider GPS, and Supernova. To all of our riders out there, stay safe, remember to charge your lights, and just keep moving.